This is 91.1 WEDM, and you are listening to Inside the Huddle.
Welcome to this new segment of Inside the Huddle. I'm Colin Echols, and with me this week is
Kevin Clardy,
Jamison,
T. Getty.
How y'all? First off, how y'all doing this week?
I was doing great until I heard Ty's nickname.
It's my initials, bro.
I'm doing great.
We'll get to your name later, Ty.
It's not my fault. My mother named me this.
All right, that's beside the point. But let's move in. So, opening day for college basketball was this past Tuesday here downtown Indianapolis, Duke. At Bankers Life. Bro, we'll get to Duke in a minute. Hold
Duke.
On. Kansas, Michigan State played each other.
I was really impressed. I was really impressed by Michigan State. Coming into that game, they were projected to get blown out. The point difference was supposed to be 15, 17 points, and they really came out and showed that they belong in the top 10. And they almost gave Kansas a run for their money.
It's a lot of things I have to talk about tonight. So just let me know when you guys are ready to start, because I have to get some things across. I'm really upset with college basketball so far.
Okay. Well, let's start off. Kansas, Michigan State. No one really, I don't want to say no one cared about that game, but that wasn't the game that people were looking for.
I'm not going to say it's a blowout, but they only won by 5. So
that's nowhere near a blowout.
That's not
a
blowout.
A lot of people actually cared about that game.
No, but that's not the game that.
Two top 10 teams playing.
That's not the game that everyone was looking forward to.
If Duke and Kentucky was not on, that would be the number one game.
Yes, but Duke and Kentucky was on, so that was the number one game.
You can't say nobody cared.
I think you guys forget that.
That's what I said. I said
Kansas and Michigan.
I said I'm not saying that no one cared. I'm just saying they didn't care about that one as much as Duke and Kentucky.
I think you guys forgot that Kansas and Michigan played first, and they didn't play at the same time.
Kansas and Michigan State, you mean?
They know what I mean.
It don't matter.
No, they don't. They're two different colleges.
Okay, Kansas and Michigan State. Are we... Kansas and Michigan State played first.
Yeah.
And then after that game was over, Duke and Kentucky played. And the Kansas game, I liked it. I was prepared for the Duke game. The Duke game was, it was a great game. But I feel bad for Kentucky, you know. They have to rethink. They're not in the position right now. They're
going to take a beating on the college polls.
Yeah.
They're going to fall.
Bad. And then for other college basketball, Villanova played. I was really upset with my boy JQ.
Georgetown played too.
Jelly fam, he did not put on nothing. He 3 points. Like, what, 3 points?
I mean, Isaiah Washington struggled a little bit when he first
got struggled
there.
With his whole freshman year.
Yeah, so freshmen normally struggle. I mean, you got great prospects.
But if you're trying to go one and done, though.
Not everyone goes to college to be one and done. I know this.
But I'm just saying, I'm just saying that if your idea is to go to college and do one and done, you can't struggle.
Yeah. If you wanted to go one and done, then your freshman year is supposed to be one of the best freshman years that college will ever see. But I mean, when it comes to people like him coming from lower poverty places like Brooklyn and New York and stuff like that, then you're trying to get one and done. But at the same time, if you don't have the potential straight into the college season, then you got to work on that and go all 4 years.
All right, let me say something. Now, although I was really hurt by my man's JQ, and I didn't tune into this, my boy Chris Wilkes, although they played Fort Wayne, which is trash, he gave Fort Wayne a 30-piece.
Yeah, Chris Wilkes is going to be nice.
He said, I want all the smoke. He gave him a 30-piece, and Jalen Hands gave him a 20-piece.
I'm not sold on Jalen Hands yet.
Easy. But
needs a jump shot.
So then, a big one. He got cooked
and
by
he's
got
and
cooked
he's,
by Colin Sexton.
And he's not that good on defense.
Yeah, we're not here to talk about him.
It's college basketball.
We're here to
college basketball.
But we're here to talk about one team, right? Duke?
I want to talk about all the teams.
I want to talk about Oregon. I want to talk about Bull.
You
want to
talk about Bull Bull. Go ahead. Speak your mind, Jameson.
19 points, I mean.
Bull Bull's nice.
Get with it or get rolled over. That's all I got to say.
I don't think he's
one. Fourth in the nation in centers last year in high school.
I don't think he's one and done, but he's nice. He's going to be nice.
What are you talking about? He's not one. What?
He's not even the best center in college basketball.
So who is?
You got Luke May from North Carolina. He's pretty nice.
Luke May? Where was
Daniel
he?
Daniel Gafford.
Where was he in high school? Gafford?
Gafford.
We don't care for them.
Place for
We're
Syracuse.
Here for Bobo.
I mean, Arkansas. The center for West Virginia.
Who was watching Arkansas basketball? Nobody.
It's a Division I school.
We're not even watching them. They can play Duke and we're not watching them.
West Virginia, they have probably the most defensive sound big man in the entire draft this year. I mean, he's averaging 3.5 blocks a game. So
it's one game. It's one game.
He averaged 3 last year.
Okay.
He's going to get drafted pretty high. I mean, Bobo has the potential. He has guard skills for a 7'2 center. I mean, his defense could use a little work. I mean,
he just needs to put
some
away.
Weight,
honestly,
he gets away with his length, but I mean, he doesn't really move his feet. He can't step out there and guard the pick and roll against elite guards. But
so James
should develop.
Jameson made a reference earlier.
Okay, I made a reference. Hold on, I got this, Colin. I said that, you know, my only weakness for Bobo is his weight. He's only like 215, but he's 7 foot. It's not a W. So I feel like he can do that. Anthony Davis came in. He put on about 30, 40 pounds. And now he's a top 5 player in the NBA, arguably.
That's not arguably. He's top 5, definitely.
I know. It's just, you know, some people like to argue dumb stuff. But anyway, on to the other games. UNC played. I thought Nasir Little was going to have a showing. He only averaged 10, but he didn't even start the game. And he was, I believe, fourth or fifth best player in the nation last year for high school basketball.
I love his defense. He's really good. He really plays both ends of the floor, though.
Yeah, I thought, by the way he played, I thought he was like a 4, maybe a short 5, but he's only a 3. He's only 6'6".
Yeah. In high school, they really move you around to whatever position they want you to. So, I mean, college basketball is a lot different from high school. So if you judge players off their high school experience, it won't come out the same most of the time, but unless you're talking like Zion Williamson, Cam Reddish, RJ Barrett, or Romeo Langford, those guys are going to be dominant whatever level they go to.
And then Purdue played Fairfield. I'm not too fond of Fairfield, but they played them. And the guard, Carson Edwards, put a 30-piece on them. I've never heard of Carson Edwards, but this makes me want to watch. 7 3-pointers, 7 of 11 from 3-pointers.
I want to talk about this.
Crazy.
West Virginia, top 20 team in the nation. Mm-hmm. I thought they were going to fall after losing Javon Carter and some other key pieces.
I thought they were going to win. I thought they were going to at least go to the Final Four last year.
Yeah, West Virginia's defense was insane last year. Full court press with Javon Carter. Mm-hmm. I mean, they really, and their center, like I said, three blocks a game last year. So I really thought they were going to go far, but unfortunately that didn't happen. But they're top 20 team in the nation. So I'm really excited. I'm going to be watching a lot of West Virginia basketball today.
All right. Let's move to the big topic. The most stacked team in the NCAA.
Wait.
History.
Wait. Hold up.
History.
Before we get to everybody else we're going to get to, Gonzaga.
Oh.
Number 3. 120-80.
Gonzaga.
We don't sleep. Last year, Gonzaga had like one of the best front courts in the league. We can talk about that later. They were nasty. You got to give it to Gonzaga. You got to give it to them. Two players with plus 20, and one of them ended up having 33 with no three-pointers. 33 with no threes.
We get it, Thug. We get it.
I just had to stress that. You know,
33 with no threes.
Some of y'all's favorite players only get 30 by threes, but we're going to keep that pushing.
Is that it? Who's that shot at?
We don't mess with GSW over here.
GSW.
All right. So let's move to the big topic. The Duke.
The Golden State Warriors of college basketball.
Duke.
I'm not gonna say that because
they're loaded at every position.
Only two players on their whole starting line that could shoot the three, but we're gonna give them Cam and RJ. Who else is shooting the three?
The
point guard had 4 points.
Playing in the flow of the offense. He also had 7 assists, and he also hit his first three. He didn't shoot the ball that much because he has two 30-piece 30 points per game scorers on his team. So he doesn't have to shoot the ball, but he can let it go.
Okay.
His brother is in the NBA.
4 points.
They both can shoot the ball.
Who is better, though?
4 points.
Hold on. Who's better, though? Because this is a real discussion.
Tyler Jones or Tyus Jones?
No, we're not talking about them.
Oh.
RJ and Zion. RJ and Zion.
I think RJ is the more complete player, but Zion has the more potential. Because if Zion develops a 3-point shot, it's over. RJ's. No one can guard him.
Okay, so let me take this back to earlier in the week. Let me take this back to earlier in the week. One coach of the Golden State Warriors, Mr. Stephen Kerr.
Stephen Kerr.
I believe he goes by Steve.
I've never heard someone call him Stephen.
Whatever.
Keep it going.
Says that he thought LeBron could only come into the league one time. But he said that with Zion.
I think Zion
that's
is
not
the
true.
New LeBron.
I totally agree with him.
No.
When it comes to living up to the hype.
Living up to the hype, yes.
He's on a good pace.
I mean, they said that overall, about Ben Simmons, too.
Ben Simmons is living up to the hype as well.
Okay, but what was that guy that everybody
said? LeBron.
Hold up.
Okay, look.
What's that guy everybody said was going to be like?
No one's
LeBron
ever going to be like LeBron. LeBron is a
better overall player than Zion.
Of course he is. He's an NBA Hall of Famer. You have to give Zion time. He just had his first game. So
but we can't really compare them until he gets
to the
area.
Pump the brakes on the LeBron comparisons. But when it comes to living up to the hype and playing styles, I totally agree with Steve Kerr. They have similar playing styles. They both like to get teammates involved. Their athleticism is ridiculous. When they play defense, when they want to, they're lockdown defenders.
If they play defense.
They both struggled with the jump shots early in their careers. So you just got to give Zion time to prove that I mean, he's only had one game. So pump the brakes on the LeBron comparison, but I see where Steve Kerr's head's at.
I can agree with you in that sense. I'm not a believer. But
in Zion?
Over.
Huh?
You're not a believer in Zion?
He's
in the podcast.
Yeah,
in the podcast.
I feel like, okay, he's a great player, don't get me wrong, but I don't see him as, I don't think he's.
He's not the next LeBron.
He's not going.
I'm sorry. He's not the next LeBron.
There's no next LeBron. LeBron is one of a kind.
Going number one.
He is, okay, that's debatable.
RJ's going number one.
You don't know that. You don't know what team is going to get the number one pick, so maybe Zion fits their playing style more than RJ Barrett does, and they'll pick Zion. Or maybe they'll pick Cam Reddish, or you don't know.
Okay, let's talk about Cam Reddish, because you made a comment earlier while we were trying to
Cam Reddish is my favorite out of the three. I love his game. He plays.
Why?
He's unstoppable on offense, and he can score without having the ball in his
hands.
He's
the best scorer out of the three.
Definitely.
Well,
I don't want to say definitely because RJ Barrett can get a bucket whenever he wants.
But the comment that you made earlier when we were trying to record a different take of this was that Cam is better than all of them.
Yeah, I think he'll be better than all three of them. I mean,
at the end of the day, I see Cam Reddish being like a Paul George-ish type player.
That's a great comparison, actually. Because, I mean, he can really score and play defense.
I agree with you with that.
That's his maximum.
I still think
that RJ is going to be better out of the three.
Well, we'll have to see. But I think Cam Reddish, his game reminds me a lot of James Harden. Can score without the ball. He can get teammates involved. And he can shoot the ball.
If I'm thinking of a college James Harden, I'm instantly Romeo with.
Romeo Langford, that's another great comparison. I put him and James Harden have similar game types.
And let's move on to Romeo Langford. The hometown hoops. Romeo Langford goes to IU. Is he going to go one and done or is he going to stay?
Of course he's going one and done. But
top five in the nation for NBA prospects?
Not top five.
He's not going to go top five pick, but he's a top five prospect at the moment.
Right now in college basketball at all?
In college basketball at all.
No, he's not top five.
He's going 12.
He's not top five.
He's going 12.
Three of the top five play for Duke.
I know.
So he's not top five. He's top five freshman, but top five 12. In the country, no.
He's going
no,
12.
You see him at 12?
12?
I see him at 12.
I see him at 12.
He'll probably get picked around maybe a lower playoff seeded team.
He's going lottery.
I say around
sure.
11 or 12. Yeah, that's a good.
He's going lottery.
That's not a bad.
But I see 12.
This does say top NBA prospects. Romeo Langford's number five. In the top NBA prospect.
Yeah. I think is that just freshmen or is that the entire country?
Top NBA prospects.
Who are the other five?
So number one is RJ Barrett.
Okay.
Of course.
Freshman.
Two, Nasir Little.
Nazir
Little.
UNC.
UNC. Three is Zion.
Duke.
Four is Cam.
Mm-hmm. Duke.
Five is Romeo Langford.
Well, I haven't seen enough from Romeo in his college days to put him in my top five.
Think about it like this, though. They haven't played anybody yet.
It's respectable. Top five is respectable. I didn't think he was in the top five, but I put him in my top ten.
And for the ones that don't know, we can continue the list all the way to ten. Six is Quentin Grimes out of Kansas. Seven is Keldon Johnson out of Kentucky. Eight is Sakaya Dambaya. I don't know how to pronounce that. I'm sorry. Out of France. Nine is Darius Garland, who is somebody I really enjoy watching play basketball in high school. Out of Vanderbilt. And 10 is my man, the only center on this list, it looks like.
Bobo
out of Oregon.
Bobo.
Yeah, but I think that top 10 is a solid top 10 for prospects. I think you just got to give Romeo Langford a little bit more time. So he plays a little bit better competition than what he's played. Because if you think about it, who'd they play their first game?
I'm not sure.
They didn't play a big school their first game. So give him a little bit of time
to develop. If they play, when they do play, they're 14th. When they do play a big school, I mean, I don't expect to see them like really shine. They only have one player, and he plays a center position. I mean, he can... We've seen center positions carry teams, but, like, think about it. You're going against Kansas and Gonzaga and Kentucky and Duke. It's a lot of teams and Villanova. It's a lot of teams that can, you know, that have multiple players that they have to guard. And it's not like they're necessarily big men. It's more like the guard position in college basketball, the guard position is taking over.
All right.
That's in basketball, period. There's about to be no positions.
No, I can't say that in the NBA. But
you don't think so?
No. You can't say that in the NBA.
It's most definitely the forward position.
I'll
give you
four, five. My top five best players in the NBA right now are all forwards. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a different topic for a different week, though.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that. All right. So one last thing before we cut this off. One last thing. Who is your pick to win the NCAA championship this year?
Duke. No cap.
So Jameson's got Duke. Tryon, who you got?
I'm going with, even though it's probably not going to happen. I probably know it's not going to happen, but I'm still going with UNC just because.
No cap.
That's my hometown.
No comp.
You know?
No comp.
Rooting for the hometown team. So
that's my hometown, and I'm going to that college.
Ty got UNC.
We can pick the forward.
Kevin had to go, but I know Kevin was going to pick Duke. But I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to say Kansas is going to have. Now stop and listen for a minute. Kansas,
who on that team is guarding RJ?
I don't know, but look, Kansas is going
in Zion.
Kansas, in my opinion,
who on that team is guarding Cameron Reddish?
Kansas, in my opinion, is going to have their breakout year, and they're actually going to do something with it this year. But that's just my opinion. But y'all can disagree, but whatever. So this has been another episode of Inside the Huddle. Thank you all for listening. Thank you, Jameson, Kevin, and Trayon, or T. Getty, as you want to be called, for sitting down with me this week. And make sure you guys tune in next week for another special edition of Inside the Huddle here on 91.1 WEDM.
91.1 WEDM, this is the Inside the Huddle interview. It's me, Isaiah, here with members of the defense of the Warren Central football team. And we'll be talking about how the season is going and what's their attitude going against the postseason. Right now, the team is undefeated after beating LC in the sectional championship, and we're going into the regional championship against North Central. And you guys would like to introduce yourself. Go ahead, tell us who you are.
Hello, my name is Willie Eden, number 27, corner.
What it is, it's your boy number 7, Isaiah Warren, outside linebacker.
Yeah, it's your boy Malik Ma, number 45, middle linebacker.
They had some outstanding performances last week against LC. So we're going to talk about how the season went and the attitude going against North Central. Right now, I see they've been doing a lot of talking on social media, posting videos, pictures, and all that. But that's nothing new to us because LC did the same thing. So what's your guys' attitude going into North Central?
Willie speaking first. My attitude going into North Central is that they got better, we got better. It's not going to be an easy game, but we're going to come out with the dub. That's my attitude.
What about you, Isaiah?
Same thing. I mean, we just going to play our game, let them do what they do. We're going to do what we do. Yeah. Get our offense back to ball.
Yeah, we just going to come in hard, let the people talk, and do our thing.
And that's nothing new to us because we've been doing that. So the first time we played them, it was a kind of weird game. We had some false calls from refs. It was just a weird game, period. Then they had, like, a lot of stuff that was going on that was out of the ordinary. Every time we go to North Central, it seems like it's always something else that's going on other than regular football. So how are you guys going to go against that adversity, after being in their home again?
Well, on Friday, it's going to be real, real cold. Real, real cold. So we need all of our real fans to come support us at their home because I'm pretty sure their stands is going to be fat.
Yeah, definitely. But with that, we just got to hope that we can adapt to a weather better than them too. Score defensively, offensively, and special teams.
Yeah, we hopefully going to come out and do like we did to LC. Come out quiet, fast, strong, do our thing.
That first hit a wake-up call.
Most definitely.
What he said.
So when we went against LC, we scored 14 points in the first 8 seconds of the game. So you guys feel like we could do this again against North Central?
Definitely.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
Most definitely. Because I feel like, you feel me, I feel like they got a big head right now. Like a real, real big head right now. Yeah, we just got to pop it.
We like that, though. We like that attitude. It's going to make it hurt more when they lose.
Yeah, they're real confident right now. They posted some things that I never think. The whole school think they're going to win, so it's going to be a lot of tears on Friday night, and it ain't coming from the Warriors.
Let's keep that energy. I like that energy. So up next, we're going to talk about what was, like, some of your favorite memories from the past season.
My favorite memory is, of course, my pick six, because I was the first person to do that on our defense this year, a 20-yard touchdown. And that was my first interception of the season. I also had two that game. So, yeah, LC was my favorite game. That was my, yeah.
What about you, Isaiah?
My favorite game was Bowling Green. I don't know what. I just, I was a demon. Someone came into me, you feel me? I just took it and ran with it. Feel me? Bang it, bang, bang, bang. Every play, somebody getting hit. That was my goal, every play, put somebody on their back. And that's what happened.
Yeah, my favorite game was Trinity. Yeah, it was on TV, ESPN. I did my thing. Feel me? I was top three defensive player of the game. Had a couple tackles. Had a sack. A couple tackles for loss. Think I just did my thing.
And what was you guys' funniest memory from this season?
My funniest memory was, like, during the game.
Just period during the season.
Oh, just period during the season. It's a whole bunch of funny moments because, like, we're a funny football team. So, like, at practice, it'd be real funny every day. I wouldn't really have, like, a funniest. Oh, never mind. I do. Coach Tucker went viral. He got a video of him dancing. That was some funny stuff.
When was that, our first sectional game against BD? It was that practice, that Wednesday practice?
Yeah, he was blowing the whistle. Like,
what about you, Isaiah?
I got a few. One of them was Coach Tuck last Saturday. He jumped into a pool, thought it was deep. It was only 2 feet. But he thought it was deeper. So he jumped into it. He hit his knee on the bottom of the pool. Got hurt. And then the other one was in the game. Carmel, bro, threw it. It right hit my hands. So I thought I was about to catch it. And it went right up in the air. Luckily, Christian came and saved it for me, but like I thought it was mine. It wasn't.
Really, every day, one of my brothers is funny. You know, we get together, clown. Inside of school, outside of school, on the field, off the field. But probably the funniest moment in the game was the first time we played North Central. O-line, we going back and forth, just rapping and rapping. And I hit one of them. He was like, he said something. I can't even repeat it on the radio, but it was just one of the funniest moments of the season.
All right, so next we're going to get back to some of that North Central talk. The first time you went against these guys, they had a pretty mobile quarterback and pretty good receivers. How are you guys planning to counter that offense that they have?
You said something about their mobile quarterback. Well, for their mobile quarterback, we trying to put some pads on him, and it's going to be cold. So you're going to be you're going to have to be real, like, Superman-ish. Real, real Superman-ish, because we coming to hit, baby. Yeah.
I'm just going to do my thing, you feel me? Hit him as hard as I can every opportunity I get. You feel me? Lock the skies down, shut the run down, and put that boom down.
Yeah, we're going to try to keep the quarterback in the pocket. Try to, you feel me? Make him, we're really not giving him much time. Make him scramble a little bit, yeah. Make him scramble instead of staying in the pocket. Make him scramble. Get scared, throw the ball. Get a pick to my boy Isaiah or my boy Willie, secondary. Feel me? It's going to be that red belt coming out. Just know that.
And with Willie, what you being a cornerback, do you think you're going to be guarding their best wide receiver they have out there?
I'm ready to guard anybody. I wouldn't say they got a best wide receiver. They all kind of good. Feel me? So like, it's like, whoever they do put me on, I don't plan on them catching the ball, and I hope they don't plan on catching the ball. Yeah.
What about you guys on defense? You guys are considered one of the best defenses in the state, so how do you guys keep a level head going into North Central?
Keep stopping the run and smack people in the mouth.
So should we be expecting some turnovers from the defense period this week?
You should be expecting a whole lot of turnovers every week because we built like that.
And then lastly, we're going to talk about us and our probability of going to state. I seen earlier on Twitter, they said we're one of the best Indiana teams. We're one of the best teams in Indianapolis. That's what BD claimed they said they were last year. So they said we're up going for that title. So do you guys feel like, is that your main goal, the best Indiana team in football, or just to win state?
Nah, state is the main goal. That's the main thing, win state. We got to do that in order to be the best team. To ever come to Indiana, we got to be at least win state.
Yeah, our record don't mean nothing right now because we in the playoffs. It's crunch time. You lose once, you go home. So the main goal is being at the Lucas Oil Stadium.
So, yeah, the stats are for the outsiders, really, but the team focus on. Get to that state game, taking it game by game, and getting that ring.
Have y'all had any visions of just playing in Lucas Oil for a state championship?
Every night.
Yeah,
every
matter of fact, I had a dream last night, you feel me? It was kind of sort of like my first pick. And I don't even know what team, but we was there. And I was on like the 50, right? And I was backpedaling real, real slow. And I caught another pick just like that again. I just had to run a little bit farther. And I scored. So hopefully that happens in real life, because dreams come true sometimes.
Deja vu.
Yeah, what Malik said.
Well, thank y'all for coming in. Is there anything y'all want to say before, you know, we head out?
Make sure y'all come to the game, you feel me, at North Central. Kickoff at 7:03.
Kickoff at 7 o'clock. Be there at 7 o'clock.
Man, be there at 6:50.
6:54.
Come
That's
with
right.
Hand warmers, toe warmers, coats, umbrellas, jackets, scarves, hats, gloves. Hot cocoa, anything to stay warm because it's going to be cold, rainy. Just come support us for the regional championship.
And we do need the whole Pitt fan base to be there. I know our Pitt been, you know, kind of lacking this year, but it's okay because they have a chance to make up for it this Friday at North Central. The game will be at 7. So make sure you guys don't forget. Thank you guys for coming in, doing the interview. That's it for here on 91.1 WEDM.
91.1 WEDM, and this week for this Inside the Huddle, my topic is swimming, and I have
Olivia Clayton,
three-time varsity swimmer. She's been swimming varsity since her freshman year. Now I have a couple of questions for you.
Okay.
So how do you think the season's going to go for you this year?
Looking back on last year, I think this season will go really good because I made a lot of time drops and big achievements last season, and I've really just been building up on everything that I've been working on since last season, so it's probably going to be a season to want to see.
Well, explain to the people, like, what events you do in swimming.
It kind of just depends on what Sincroft puts me in, but mainly I swim – like the 100 backstroke, and last season I swam the 500 free, but each season it kind of changes because my freshman year I swam the 200 free and the 100 back, so.
So, like, going into a big swim meet, how do you prepare for that?
First thing I do is I gotta eat because I be getting real lightheaded if I don't. And then I have to drink, like, a water in a Gatorade. No, hands down, I gotta do that. And then as we're stretching, I kind of just have, like, a playlist going so I can kind of just, like, take my mind off of the swimming part of the meet, I guess.
So, like, does Coach Sincroft have a motto for the swim team?
I could say yes, but it's kind of like he just tells us everything kind of individually. I mean, probably the biggest one is to, like, keep going and, like, just believe in yourself and just don't have a negative mindset because swimming is probably, like, 98% mental, so.
So, like, what's one of the best teams in Indiana that you guys swim against?
Carmel. Carmel.
What makes Carmel so good?
They've won girls state for like 36 years in a row, maybe something like up there.
Do you think you guys can compete in the running for that?
I think we could probably put some of our best swimmers up against them, but I mean, Carmel is probably one of the hardest teams to beat because they're always training. We're always training, but they start young.
So, like, tell us the conditioning going into swimming.
This year the conditioning was we practiced, like, Mondays, Wednesdays, and then Friday mornings. And usually, before, like, right after school, we would go to the weight room for about an hour, and then we would swim for, like, an hour. And usually in the weight room, we just do, like, the basic, like, squats, bench press, and then some type of, like, abs or planks or something. And then when we go to the pool, it's kind of just, like, a stretch out. We mainly do a lot of kicking because, I mean, you know, that's probably, like, the fastest part of anybody's stroke. But then on Friday mornings, we kind of just had, like, a game day that we would just, like, play, like, childish stuff like tag or something.
So you're a junior. So what do you want to major in college?
Well, right now I'm in cosmetology, but when I get older, I want to own my own salon. So I'm going to go to college to get my business degree.
So, like, what college program has a real good swim school? What college program has a real good swim team?
Here. No, I mean, like, in Indiana.
I'm just talking about period.
I know that IUPUI and UIndy have really good swimming programs, but I don't know. I'm not going to say that. Never mind.
Do you want to go to college for swimming?
As of right now, I wouldn't mind to, but it's not really on my checklist of what I want to do in college. Sure.
So why after sectionals, if you guys make sectionals, as a team, why does it split into an individual?
Because once you go to sectionals, basically everybody swims their event. And if you make it back to finals, then you're still swimming individually, but you're still on a team, right? So I think the first two, so if you're like, if you place first and second at sectionals, you can move on to state if there's opening spots. But to go to state, you have to make a certain time. So if you make sectionals and you can make it to state, then you go to state individually. It's not like a team thing. Like, everybody goes. It's just who made the times.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's edition of Inside the Huddle. Be sure to tune in next week for more of the same on WEDM FM.com.